I was seeing some patients in the pediatric unit when a pager went off. It was the Failure to Thrive clinic. There was a new patient who needed a nutrition consult. I finished the conversation I was having with the child and their parents, then walked down to the clinic. Before seeing the patient, the doctor wanted to talk to me. He showed me the diet recall so I could add to it when I spoke with the patient. I had a long conversation with the patient, then spoke with the doctor. He asked me how many calories the patient was eating. I was able to quickly estimate how many calories and grams of protein the patient was getting. I shared it with the doctor as well as the patient's estimated needs, so we all knew where the patient stood with regards to their intake and how much they needed. The beauty is that I was able to estimate it quickly because I used a very helpful tool. I'm Jana Nickel, and this is the RD Exam Made Easy podcast. Hey there! As dietitians, we're often asked to review a menu or make a quick evaluation of a patient or client's diet recall, where you need to calculate and determine how many calories and protein, carbs, and fat are in the meal. Sometimes you may have access to a database and there are apps that can give a breakdown, but there's one true method that dietitians and clients can use to help with easy calculations when there's no access to these other things. That is the exchange lists. The exchange lists are used by dietitians all the time and across specialties. It doesn't just help with carb counting, although it is super useful for that. It's overall a great tool anytime you need to quickly assess the macronutrient breakdown of a meal. I wanted to cover this topic because I've had a couple RDs-to-be reach out to me who either want help clarifying exchanges, or I've had interns ask questions during their internship rotation. I've also had some students reach out about practice questions they're doing, and they need some help and guidance answering them. The key to breaking down meals easily and quickly is using the exchange list. So I'm dedicating an episode to this very helpful, trusted tool that I want you to be comfortable using. Let's say you're asked to do a comparison of meals on the exam, and you need to determine which meal has the most amount of protein. Or maybe you need to indicate which meal has the least amount of calories. You would use the exchange list to quickly determine this. On the exam, you don't have time to do a full nutrient analysis, nor will you have access to the software to even enter the data. So you have to use a tool to help you, and that tool would be the exchange list. It's in your brain, you have to remember it, but once you have it down, anywhere you go, under any circumstances, you have it and will be able to access it. So let's spend some time talking about them. We're going to go over a general breakdown of the exchanges and why it's so important you know how to use this tool. The beauty is that you don't have to be exact when using exchanges. I know, this is hard for dietitians who are known to have type A personalities. We want everything to be perfect. Exchanges are estimates, so yikes, that can be hard if you're a perfectionist. But I'd argue that using exchanges is perfectly fine. Essentially, the tool helps you estimate how many calories, grams of protein, grams of fat, and grams of carbs a meal or food item has when there's no food label available. It's particularly helpful when eating out. For dietitians who work with people who have diabetes, carbohydrate counting is a very important skill they need to learn, which requires patients to use the exchange list. I want to mention that sometimes I've seen it called the food list. So you may come across that name too. I don't want you to be confused, so if you do, it's the same thing. So let's do a review of the exchanges. They're only helpful for macronutrients. The macronutrients are carbohydrate, protein, and fat. These nutrients provide calories and they're needed in larger amounts. The micronutrients, on the other hand, are vitamins and minerals, and they're needed in much smaller amounts. They're not counted when using the exchanges. So let's go over the categories first. The first category is starchy foods, which includes breads, cereals, starchy vegetables, beans, and legumes. There's more in the category, but that's generally the foods that you'll find in the starchy foods category. The next category is the fruit category, which includes fruit. Appropriately named, right? Then there's the non-starchy vegetables, which are all the vegetables except for the starchy ones. Starchy vegetables are corn, peas, and potatoes. I found that can be a hard one for people who are newly diagnosed with diabetes because they often eat potatoes and corn and peas, and they're used to calling them vegetables. All of a sudden, when they become a diabetic, they have to count those foods as carbohydrates. So it's important for the starchy vegetables to go in the starch category. Then there's the milk category, which includes milk and yogurt. Cheese is not included in the milk category, even though it's made from milk. Cheese is actually part of the meat category, which is broken down into lean, medium fat, and high fat meats. There's also desserts and sweets, as well as fats, which include things like butter and margarine. Don't worry, I'm going to break these down for you further. Before I do, if you feel you need to write things down, which I'm a huge advocate for, I suggest you grab yourself something to write with so you can follow along and take notes. In fact, I recommend you draw a table with 5 columns and 8 rows. Give yourself enough room in the rows to write down a couple examples. If you need to pause this episode while you draw your table, or maybe create one on your computer if that's easiest for you, go ahead and do so. Okay, at the top of your table, from left to right, label your columns foods, carbohydrates, protein, fat, and calories. Now the first row is going to be starch. Under the foods column, write starch and write down some examples of starches such as bread, cereals, oatmeal, beans, potatoes, and pasta. There's a lot of starchy foods, so I'm not going to review every starchy food. We'd be here for a really long time, so this is just a summary. So let's complete the row with the nutritionals for each type of food group. In one serving or exchange of starch, there's 15 grams of carbohydrate. The serving size is really important because portion sizes matter. So let's review examples of portion sizes. One slice of bread is one starch exchange. In one slice of bread, there's 15 grams of carbohydrate. If you ate a sandwich with 2 slices of bread, you would need to count each slice of bread. That means that 2 slices of bread counts as 2 servings, therefore in 2 slices of bread, there would be 30 grams of carbohydrate. So make sure you pay attention to portion sizes and that you're familiar with the portion sizes. So if you haven't done this already, in the carbohydrate column of your table, write down 15 grams. The next column over is protein. Now, using the exchanges, protein varies because in reality, it varies in foods. When using exchanges, you can pick a number between 0 and 3. So in your column for protein, you're going to write 0 to 3 grams in the protein column. For fat, the range is 0 to 1 grams of fat in 1 starch exchange. So in that column, make sure you write that down, 0 to 1 gram. And lastly, 1 starch exchange provides 80 calories. So let's use pasta as an example to review the exchanges for starch. 1/3 of a cup of pasta is 1 starch choice or exchange, which means that it contains 15 grams of carbs, 0 to 3 grams of protein, 0 to 1 gram of fat, and 80 calories. If you had 2/3 of a cup of pasta, everything would need to be multiplied by 2. You don't need to have a food label to help you. You don't need to have an app or a specialized computer software program in front of you. All of this can be done lifetime in your head and writing it down on a piece of paper. So let's move on to fruit. On the next row down, below the starch, you're going to write down fruit. Let's go over some examples of fruit. This can include apples, oranges, bananas, berries, kiwi, and mango. In one serving of fruit, there's 15 grams of carbohydrate. So in your carbohydrate column, write down 15 grams of carbs. An example of a portion size or one exchange of fruit is 3/4 of a cup of blueberries, one small apple, an extra small banana or half of a large banana, and one small orange. In the next two columns for protein and fat, you're going to put a line through it, or you can just write 0, because there's no protein or fat in fruit, at least nothing in significant amounts. In the final column for calories, you're going to write down 60 calories because there's 60 calories in one serving or one exchange of fruit. So that means in one small apple, for example, there's 15 grams of carbohydrate and 60 calories. The next row down is milk. This includes the different types of milk, such as fat-free milk, 1%, 2%, and whole milk. Yogurt also fits in this category. One cup of milk is one milk exchange. In one milk exchange, or in one milk serving, there's 12 grams of carbohydrate, regardless of the amount of fat in the milk. So write down 12 grams under the carbohydrate column for milk. Moving on to the protein column. In one serving of milk or yogurt, there's 8 grams of protein. The fat column is a little more detailed because dairy products have different amounts of fat depending on the type of dairy product you have. In fat-free milk, there's 0 grams of fat. In 1% milk, there's around 3 grams of fat. In 2% milk, there's 5 grams of fat, and in whole milk, there's 8 grams of fat per serving. Again, this is an estimate, but it makes it so much easier when you're getting a dietary recall. Since there's different amounts of fat in each type of milk, the calories are also going to be varied because fat provides calories, and the more fat there is, the more calories there are in the food. So in fat-free milk, there's 100 calories in one serving or one exchange. In 1% milk, there's 110 calories. In 2% milk, there's 120 calories, and in whole milk, there's 160 calories. So that's the milk category. Moving on to the next row, which is the sweets and desserts. Foods in the sweets category include cookies, cakes, and candies, for example, basically the good stuff if you have a sweet tooth like me. Since they all contain sugar, in one serving of sweets, there's 15 grams of carbs when using the exchange list. What's going to vary is the protein, fat, and calories. If you're eating Jolly Ranchers, for example, there's no protein or fat in Jolly Ranchers. Using the exchanges, a serving size or one exchange is 3 Jolly Ranchers. This is different than the portion size on the package. I've used the word serving or exchange throughout this episode. What I mean by serving size is the serving size for one exchange or food choice within each of the food categories. So back to the Jolly Ranchers. One exchange or food choice for Jolly Ranchers is 3 hard candies. In 3 Jolly Ranchers, there's 15 grams of carbohydrate when using the exchanges. There's no protein or fat, so the only calories provided are in the form of sugar or carbs. 15 grams of carbohydrate times 4 calories per gram is 60 calories. So in this example, using three Jolly Ranchers, which is one exchange or serving using the exchange lists, there's 15 grams of carbohydrate and 60 calories. Moving on to the non-starchy vegetables. This includes all the other vegetables such as broccoli, green beans, carrots, beets, and lettuce. In one serving of broccoli, there's 5 grams of carbohydrate. There's also 2 grams of protein in one serving of non-starchy vegetables. So hopefully you're filling this in your table. The non-starchy vegetables don't have any fat. And lastly, there's 25 calories in one serving. We're almost done. The meat category is broken down into lean, medium fat, and high fat meats. There's no carbohydrates in meat. Meat is carb-free, unless it's breaded and fried. But we're not going over that for now. So there's 0 grams of carbs in one serving of meat. Okay, so let's move on to protein. There's 7 grams of protein in meat, regardless of how much fat is in the meat. We'll get into the fat content in a minute. I remember when I was first learning about nutrition and I learned about exchanges. I was so surprised that dairy products have 8 grams of protein where meat has 7 grams of protein. I never would have thought that to be the case. That realization helped me when memorizing the exchanges, so I thought I'd share it with you just in case it helps you too. In one serving of dairy, there's 8 grams of protein, and in one serving of meat, there's 7 grams of protein. Okay, the type of meat indicates the type of fat. For example, lean meats include boneless, skinless chicken breast, fish, and egg whites. There's a lot more, but I'm just going to go with a few examples. So in 1 ounce of lean meat, there's 0 to 3 grams of fat. In 1 ounce of medium fat meat, there's 4 to 7 grams of fat. Examples of medium fat meats include whole eggs, beef, pork, and lamb. And finally, high fat meats include bacon, cheddar cheese, and sausage. And in 1 ounce of high fat meat, there's 8 grams of fat. One of the things that helped me memorize this is that in dairy and in meat, the high fat options, so the whole fat dairy products and the high fat meat, both have 8 grams of fat. So maybe that'll help you too when you're memorizing. Okay, finally, we have to go over the calories. In lean meat, there's 45 calories. Medium fat meat has 75 calories, and high fat meats have 100 calories. Generally speaking, 1 ounce is the average serving size when using exchanges. The average portion size when we tell people about portion sizes is 3 ounces of meat or the palm of the hands or a deck of cards, whatever you're using to teach portion sizes. So keep that in mind when you're giving the portion size, which is around 3 ounces of meat, it's actually 3 exchanges. Therefore, in 3 ounces of meat, there's 21 grams of protein. The more you use the exchanges, the calculations happen really quick. Okay, you should be down to one more row, which is the fats category. The fat category includes foods such as butter, margarine, and oil. There's no carbs or protein in fat. In one serving of fat, there's 5 grams of fat and 45 calories. I know, that was a lot to go over. If you're already comfortable with exchanges, keep going. You got this. And if this is something you need a refresher on, please make sure you review your table that you just created and learn it. Get comfortable with exchanges because you'll use them. Whether you work in clinical or outpatient counseling, or maybe you'll end up working in a kitchen doing food service management, you'll need to know exchanges to help you with meal planning and when you need to give a quick estimate. It'll help you when patients give you a recall and you need to quickly determine what they're getting in a day. If you work with clients who have diabetes who need to know how to carbohydrate count, this is the tool you'll teach and the tool they'll need to know how to use so they can manage their blood sugars independently. And that is always our goal. And you might need to do a quick estimate on the exam if you're asked to compare foods and indicate which option has the most calories or the most amount of fat or protein. If you're asked to do a comparison of foods on the exam, this strategy, the exchange list, this tool, is what will help you answer the question. Let's say you're asked to determine how many calories and grams of carbohydrate are in the following meal. 3 ounces of baked chicken breast seasoned with herbs, 2/3 of a cup of rice, and 1/2 cup of cooked broccoli. Okay. If you're a visual learner and need to write things down, which is how I learn, you'll be making 3 columns and 4 rows. Write down the foods you have in this question, which is chicken, rice, and broccoli, on each of the rows. And the columns will be listed food, carbohydrate, and calories. The first food is chicken. Chicken is a meat, and meat doesn't have any carbohydrate. It's not breaded and fried, so that confirms there's no carbohydrate. It's only seasoned with herbs. Moving on to calories. Chicken is a lean meat. The question isn't asking about protein and fat, so I'm not going to bother with those values. But the type of meat does affect the calories in each exchange. 1 ounce of chicken is 1 lean meat exchange. In 1 ounce of lean meat, there's 45 calories. This meal provides 3 ounces of chicken, so I need to multiply 45 calories by 3. That will give me 135 calories. Now, moving on to rice. This meal provides 2/3 of a cup of rice. Rice is a starch, and we know that 1/3 of a cup of rice is 1 exchange or 1 serving. So I'm going to need to multiply everything I do by 2 because there's 2 servings of rice in this meal. In 1 starch exchange, there's 15 grams of carbohydrate. I have 2 servings, so I'm going to multiply 15 by 2, which gives me 30 grams of carbohydrate from rice. Now I have to determine how many calories are provided from the rice. In each exchange of starch, there's 80 calories. I have 2 servings or 2 exchanges, so I'm going to take 80 and multiply it by 2, which will give me 160 calories from rice. The last food item in this meal is broccoli. Broccoli is a non-starchy vegetable. It still has some carbohydrate, but not as much as the starchy vegetables do. 1/2 cup of cooked broccoli is 1 non-starchy vegetable exchange, which has 5 grams of carbohydrate. Now I have to determine how many calories are in the serving of broccoli. There's 25 calories in 1 exchange of non-starchy vegetables. So that means that in this 1/2 cup of cooked broccoli, there's 25 calories. Now it's time to add everything up. The question wants us to indicate how many grams of carbohydrate and how many calories are provided in the meal. Well, chicken has no carbohydrate, the rice has 30 grams of carbs, and the broccoli provides 5 grams of carbs. 30 plus 5 is 35, so this meal provides 35 grams of carbohydrate. Now for the calories. The chicken provides 135 calories, the rice provides 160 calories, and the broccoli provides 25 calories. 135 plus 160 plus 25 gives 320 calories. There you go. That's how you're going to use exchanges when having to quickly determine the macronutrients provided in a meal. You won't always need to write out a table. Maybe you're already comfortable enough that you don't need to do this. It's just a tool to use if you're still struggling with this concept. If you're a visual learner and you need to see things organized, the tool's a great option. But by no means is it the only option. This is the last point I want you to remember if you haven't already. There's 4 calories per gram of carbohydrate. 4 calories per gram of protein, and 9 calories per gram of fat. This is something you just need to know. If you get a question on the exam that requires you to use exchanges, I want you to cruise through that question and answer it without any problems. And whenever you're seeing patients or whatever you end up doing in your career, I want you to feel comfortable using this tool. It really will help you. I wanted to end with a story that comes to mind when I think of exchanges. As I was preparing for this episode, this story kept coming to mind, so I figured, why not share it with you? Years ago, when I was a new dietitian, I was super eager to help anyone and everyone. I wanted to share with the world, or at least anyone who would listen to me, that I finally finished all my education and was able to use the RD credential I worked so hard for. I'm sure you can relate. I was flying to Seattle and ended up sitting next to this gentleman who was flying to Seattle too for a business meeting. I was flying home to see my family, and I was so excited. It had been way too long since I had last seen them. Anyways, he started a conversation with me and asked me what I do for a living. I told him I was a dietitian. He started to tell me everything he eats on a regular basis. He said, "Usually for lunch, I eat a tuna sandwich. I put a can of tuna on 2 pieces of bread with some light mayo and lettuce and tomato. And I make sure I use whole wheat bread. Is that a healthy lunch? How many calories are in the sandwich?" I was very excited to be able to help him, so I started calculating how many calories he's eating by using exchanges. I told him roughly how many calories his tuna sandwich on whole wheat provided. And let me tell you, this was only the beginning. He started going through everything he eats, what restaurants he likes to eat at, and as the flight went on, I quickly started losing interest in the conversation. But it was so awkward at that point to put my headphones on, which I really wanted to do, not because he wasn't a nice man, but because I had loaded my original iPod full of 90s and early 2000s R&B and hip hop. I couldn't wait to listen to it. I didn't want to be rude, so I talked to this man the whole way to Seattle. I eventually successfully changed the conversation, so we at least talked about something other than what he eats on a daily basis. Don't get me wrong, I love helping people, but this turned into a long conversation, much longer than any session I would normally have with a client, and I couldn't go anywhere because I was stuck on an airplane next to him. But I gotta tell you, I learned a lot from that experience. I learned that exchange lists are amazing, super helpful, and a must-know regardless of what area you work in as a dietitian. I was able to easily and quickly, on the spot, calculate how many calories are in the sandwich. I also learned that people generally love to talk about themselves. And lastly, and most importantly, I learned that dietitians are valued and needed in our society and our communities. People look to dietitians for nutrition advice and guidance, even when we're not working, which means you're exactly where you should be. You're the expert and you have a big, important role in this world. Stay on top of your study game. There's no limits to achieving the success you so deeply desire. Until next time. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe and leave a review. Share this episode on Instagram at JanaNicoleRD and help spread the word to other RDs-to-be. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next time on the RD Exam Made Easy podcast.